President Donald Trump is already investigating ways to increase the size of the military, and that will cost billions directly. But there's also a hidden cost to enlarging the force connected to military families. A bigger force means more stress on support systems for service members and their families. Federal News Radio Scott Massioni spoke with Joyce Razor, executive director of the National Military Family Association. They discussed what military families might experience with a troop increase and what her organization wants the Trump administration to do about it.
If the defense budget is increased, especially if that increase includes an end strength increase, we would want to see a proportionate increase in resources for family support, for people support. And that would be child care centers, staffing and resources at the family centers, healthcare access. If we add more troops to the force, but don't change the resourcing for our military healthcare facilities, then what will probably happen is our families will have a harder time getting a medical appointment for themselves or their kids. So if we add more troops, we're going to need more child care. So if we're on this glide to increase end strength, we have to increase those family support, people support, services and resources along with them at a similar rate.
Former Defense Secretary Ash Carter was very friendly to those kind of ideas. What do you get from now Defense Secretary Mattis on those kind of issues?
Based on his initial comments, both in his confirmation hearing and in that first message he put out to the people of the Department of Defense right after he was sworn in, very encouraged. I mean, he talked about people, he talked about the troops, he talked about the families. And so he is a warrior, but I think as a successful warrior, he understands the link between the readiness of his troops and what's going on back home.
Right.
And so we look for him to be conscious of what does it take to support the families of the troops so that the troops can focus on their mission.
And your organization, the National Military Family Association, they wrote a letter to Secretary Mattis to try and explain some of your positions. Could you tell us about what you wanted to get across to Mattis in that letter?
Well, we really wanted to make three basic points to Secretary Mattis. Number one, we're here to help. We're here if the department is looking for input from real families. Families will tell us things that they probably won't tell the Secretary of Defense. And we can provide that input where appropriate. And this is really a continuation, through the Obama administration, Defense Department, public affairs folks. There was a lot of outreach to associations. And it was useful dialogue because it was two way. It was, we were providing input from the field, but then we were also getting information about new initiatives, new programs, like, you know, the implementation of the new retirement system, for example, or, some of the force of the future changes that we could then get out to our constituencies and help them be more aware of what's going on. So the first thing was just, we're here to help. And, you know, I think to add our support for efforts, for example, to end sequestration. We see this as a partnership. It's to benefit both the whole Defense Department and the military people that we serve. So that was the first goal. The second goal was to remind the Secretary that the nature of deployments may be changing, but our service members are still deploying. They're still gone from their families. We wrote this letter at a time when two new types of deployments were in the news. 300 some Marines from Camp Lejeune were heading for training in Norway. We had thousands of soldiers and with their tanks heading from Fort Carson for a rotation in Poland. Now, they, you know, very rarely was the word deployment used to describe those two activities, but to the families back home at Camp Lejeune or Fort Carson, that service member is deployed, that service member is gone. That family needs just as much support during this period as the family whose service member is in Afghanistan or heading to Iraq. And so we wanted to emphasize deployments are changing, but family support shouldn't diminish during this changing time. If anything, it needs to ramp up. So that was our second point. And then our third point was there's a whole lot going on right now that affect military families. And a lot of it was generated by Congress. We need to make sure that there are people in those high-level positions in the Pentagon charged with policy on issues affecting military people, and we need to get those people in there fast. And we mentioned some of those positions: Undersecretary of Personnel and Readiness, Assistant Secretary for Health Affairs, Military Community and Family Policy, Deputy Assistant Secretary. Last time out, there was a long, several previous administrations, there were gaps in filling some of those critical positions. And what we're basically saying to Secretary Mattis is make these people positions a priority. You know, go to the White House to whoever's handling appointments and bump these positions up in line, because there's a lot of things going on where we need that policy guidance. We need that oversight to make sure these things work. We've got a new retirement system rolling out at the beginning of next year. Congress had hundreds of pages of healthcare changes. We need someone in those critical positions to guide those processes, provide the oversight, and really lead in setting policy.
That's Joyce Razor, Executive Director of the National Military Family Association, speaking with Federal News Radio's Scott Massioni. Be sure to read Scott's story at federalnewsradio.com.